Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. Obviously, the 76ers, the main thing today is they – look, we only get so many of these a year where you literally must win or the season's over. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let Armin Chevy be your electric vehicle dealer. Arriving shortly, the all-new Ultium-powered Chevrolet Blazer EV. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, who wins tonight? Sixers or Knicks? Must win. We know it. Second poll question, because it's been a frustrating journey to this point where the Sixers find themselves in a 3-1 hole. Who's annoying you the most with the Sixers? Four choices here, alphabetical order. Is it Embiid, Tobias, Daryl Morey, or Nick Nurse? All of whom obviously have been called on the carpet for different reasons as callers and hosts have weighed in over the last couple of days. You can weigh in on the phone lines, 215-592-9494.
That's a tough one.
It's tricky. I mean, I think it's Tobias. But
that's that is an easy way out.
Listen, they all have I think Embiid has the least culpability. I really do. By the way, Spike Eskin defending Joel Embiid. We'll get to that audio coming up shortly. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. All right, game five tonight. Tom in Middletown right now. Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, Tom.
Okay. Real quick, a question before I make my comment. How different would this team look if we would have kept Jimmy Butler and not Toby Harris?
Well, yeah. I mean, totally different.
We'd be wearing a couple rings.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I will say this, maybe not, because Joel's non-healthiness still might have been a factor where Jimmy couldn't do it without a full go Embiid. So, but they would have gotten closer.
They might not have Maxey too if they keep Butler. You know, where there's so many different things with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't hold much hope for this comeback, and the main reason is we have no bench contributions at all. And I mean, I am not mad at Embiid. I am not mad at Maxey. Embiid's out there. He's giving his all. I think with a bad knee, Bell's palsy. Maxey's out there hustling. Lowry's hustling. I mean, we're hustling. We're being out-hustled, but we're still hustling. But we can't even rest our guys when they need a rest because there's no faith in the bench.
Yeah, well, there's less faith in the bench right now probably than any bench I've seen the Sixers have on a good team in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably the worst bench they've had since they turned the corner and started winning games. Tom, give me an answer, a crazy notable sports story not involving the plane of sports.
Okay. All right. I was going to say the 89 World Series, but a winner knows how to pivot, so I'm going to come back with another one. Back in the day, Monday Night Football was a huge stage, much bigger than it is now. And during a live game, Howard Cosell announced that John Lennon was assassinated.
Yep, that's exactly right. So here's the deal, John. Does that count
Was it a bigger stage than what it is now?
Oh, enormously bigger. You got to remember, you only had six channels.
Oh, it's way bigger.
You had 3, 6, 10, 17, 29, and 57. That's all you had.
You waited all week to watch it.
And 48. People always forget channel 48.
Yeah.
So you had seven channels,
Like not even in the same hemisphere.
Numbers said there were actually more people.
It's not even comparative.
Yeah.
It's not even in the same hemisphere.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so the last caller defended Joel Embiid, but a lot of people have ripped him in recent days. Spike Eskin thinks the ripping of Joel is very unfair. And early in his show yesterday, let's listen to what he said as he supports Joel and made some good points. Listen, make of it what you will, and I know a lot of people will disagree with Spike. I think a lot of people will agree with Spike. Here's how he laid it out.
Most of what I've heard today on the radio station from hosts and callers alike is crushing Embiid. That this is a condemnation of Joel Embiid. See, we told you. He wouldn't come through. He only had 1 point in the fourth quarter. See, we told you. And I am here to tell you that it is not last night, yesterday, and them being down 3-1, this is not Joel Embiid's failure. This is everyone around Joel Embiid who failed him. You know, Daryl Morey has failed Joel Embiid. Nick Nurse has failed Joel Embiid. The other players on the team have failed Joel Embiid. Here's what I've watched through this series. I watched game one, the Knicks superstar, Jalen Brunson, shoot like 7 for 28. And yet somehow, some way, two role players out of nowhere, you know, Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo come through and they win the game. Right, and no one says a word about Jalen Brunson shooting 20% from the field. Game two, Jalen Brunson shoots 7 for 29, but Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, the rest of the team comes through, pulls it through, gets him to the end.
All right, so Spike's laying out a point here. Now I know there's some people right now ready to honk the horn in protest, driving to work in total aggravation, and then there's people like, yeah, Spike, tell him. Spike wasn't done. He rolls on.
Game three, Embiid scores 50 points, but we do get one contribution from a role player in campaign that helps get the game over the top. And then yesterday, in the fourth, it has been so bad with him off the court, and it was so bad for 2 minutes yesterday in the first half that they could not sit him. Game one, the game was lost in the 3 minutes he wasn't on the court at the end of the second quarter. Game two was lost because Tyrese Maxey doesn't call timeout. Kyle Lowry doesn't call timeout. Nick Nurse doesn't call timeout. And then yesterday is such a failure on Maxey and Nurse specifically that this guy is dragging ass because he's played the entire second half because no one can dream of them staying in the game without him on there, and they need one guy to organize the offense and they can't do it. And they can't get him an entry. He fouls out Isaiah Hartenstein, and then they can't get him an entry pass for the rest of the game.
All right, so I think Spike's making a lot of good points. Again, I know there's some people ready to scream right now in frustration. One more, because I will say B-ball Paul is killing him. And I go back to Daryl Morey, his decision to say, let's have this guy be the backup center. It's a freaking joke. But one more from Spike, because he had one more thing still to get to.
Morey failed by his sole deadline acquisition being Buddy Hield, who can't even get on the court.
Talk to me.
You know, Nick Nurse.
Talk to me.
I'm sorry, man. Like I know that the personnel is the personnel, and I know that these guys have not played together very often, which, by the way, goes back to Morey. The starting point guard on this team is Kyle Lowry, who has played, 10 games with Joel Embiid, and we wonder why it's a mess at the end of the game. And then Nurse, I'm sorry, you just have to figure out a way to get the offense to not look as bad as it did for 15 straight minutes where they don't score for 5 straight minutes, and everybody wants Embiid to fix everything. They have been, when he's been on the court, they've outscored the Knicks by 40 points, and when he's been off the court, the Knicks have outscored him by 43, and it is just he is not without blame in general, but this particular series is evidence of the failure of the players around him, is evidence of the failure of the general manager, and is evidence of the failure of the coach.
All right, John Ritchie, we've had Judge Wapner, Judge Judy, we've had 15 famous judges on TV. You are the judge. Is Spike Eskin right or wrong?
He's absolutely right. There's a little bit
of right.
I like
the music, James. That was good. That always puts me in a good mood when I hear that music.
I love it, too. But think about what we're talking about here. Everyone else needs to step up. Yes, it's Daryl Morey's fault that there's no one else surrounding Joel Embiid. But Joel Embiid needs to we're talking about the first round of the playoffs. Holy cow. We are on death's door right now. We have to win every single game of this series. We have to win out just to advance to the second round. Think about our standards, guys.
I know.
Our standards, this year, are we going to represent the East? That was my expectation. That was my hope. And now we are limping to where, and Joel is still limping, making sure everyone is aware that knee brace is intact for something that should have been fixed 2 months ago, and now the team still feels broken. And by the way, it doesn't feel like at the end of this last game when Kyle Lowry shoots a free throw and intentionally bricks it, and no one else knows that he's intentionally bricking it.
That was crazy.
It's no wonder
that was crazy.
Miscommunications like that occur when you are just now playing these guys for the first time together. 10 games together under their belts, you're gonna have these growing pains. That was mismanaged. And part of why it was mismanaged is because no one could have expected these guys would have been afraid to play.
So
no one could have expected that. I don't. Who's our guy? My gosh, not campaign. Buddy Hield has fallen off the face of the planet because he's afraid to go out there and try to contribute to what this team's doing. I can't stand that part.
Ruben, is he right or wrong?
He's right on. I'm on Team Spike. I mean, there's no question. Embiid's doing what he can possibly do, and he can only do so much. And I know he's 1/5 of the team on the court, but he needs support, man. He's got no support. None.
James, give me your ruling.
Is it not all Embiid's fault? Of course it's not all Embiid's fault. But Joel Embiid is the star of this team. He's the MVP of the league last year. Like, in the history of the NBA, what happens when you have the best player in the series, Joe? You normally win, right? And he never does. He almost never does as the best player in every freaking series. This is not just one time. This is a accumulation
of him and Jimmy Butler, him and Tatum.
So I get where Spike's coming from, but I patently disagree.
All right, Ree, I'm assuming you disagree entirely, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I could not disagree with Spike more. I mean, the point is that there's one common denominator over the past, five, 6 years of never making it past the second round, and that's Joel Embiid. I mean, that's just, you don't have anybody else here to blame.
He is the only common. I mean, the only two people that have been here the whole time, I guess, are him and Josh Harris, right?
And Elton Brand.
And Elton Brand, yeah.
I mean, we used to kill. I mean, I know I did. Used to kill.
And Matt Cord, by the way. Public address.
Yes, it is Matt.
It's all Matt's fault, really, right?
We used to kill. We held Donovan McNabb to a very high standard.
Yes, we did.
And Donovan made 4 NFC championship games in a Super Bowl.
Yep. And by the way, won 9 playoff games,
a lot of playoff games.
Yeah.
This guy can't get out of the second round. Yeah. Context does matter when it comes to how you view Joel Embiid.
So, and then of course the other thing is it bad luck with the injuries, or is he mentally weak?
Guys, this is
and
the year
physically
that he was
weak.
Less injured. This is the year that he got to rest for
only
2 months
only
prior to
until March.
But John, but he came back,
and we're getting less far. Like, this was the year that he was less hampered.
But he wasn't ramped.
The path to the third round, to the conference championship round, could not be easier. Like, as far as it goes, like, I like this Knicks team. They're fun. They're not a great team or anything like that. The Pacers are coming up next. Like, it's all there for you.
I'd actually call it the second easiest path they've had. Because 2021, when it was Wizards, Hawks.
Yeah.
Like,
agree.
That's really I still can't believe they freaking lost to Trae Young. It was like 2 feet tall. 215-592-9494.
Who has never come close to that again, by the way. Trae Young has never had another moment in the playoffs. He's never had a good team again.
No, he hasn't. All right. John Crux saying something last night about Sir Anthony, who was a big part, Sir Anthony was, of why the Phils lost that game last night. We'll get to that. Plus, Emmanuel Acho, big praise of Howie in the Eagles draft. That and a lot more. Your calls on all these topics, including what Spike said there, right or wrong on Joel, and win or lose tonight. What do you say? On a very busy Tuesday morning on 94WIP.
The sun is shining, the bats are cracking, and BetMGM, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies, is here to make sure every Phils fan savors the 2024 baseball season like never before. The King of Sportsbook has a state-of-the-art app with tons of betting options and promotions that are available 24/7. With BetMGM, you can be part of every diving catch, every dashing double play, every splendid strikeout, and every fantastic four-bagger from your favorite Phils right from the comfort of your own home. Baseball is back, and it's time to get in on the action. Try betting on the Phils to win, designing a perfect parlay, or betting the first 5 innings. The possibilities are endless. The boys of summer are...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, it's an obvious must-win game tonight for the Sixers. And one thing that is scary is that Knicks crowd is going to be in a frenzy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they can scream the way they could scream and take over as roughly half the crowd in Game 4, you know, imagine what they could do with a full 20,000 for Game 5.
You don't
five.
Think we're going to take over MSG tonight? No. Too
that
soon?
I'm taking the train to Penn Station
Did
tonight,
you see
James.
How much the tickets were?
No, what is
it's
it?
Like $460-something just to get in the building.
Yeah, I mean, look, they want it bad. Their crowd, they haven't had much to cheer for in a long time. I mean, really, you got to go back to pretty much the Patrick Ewing years. I know they had that one year with Carmelo when they got to a Game 6 of a conference semifinal. But for the most part, they haven't had much.
Their city hasn't had anything to cheer for.
So, yeah, they haven't. I mean, the Yankees are in a bit of a drought. Yeah.
Since 2009.
Well, by Yankee standards. I mean, 2009 would be, I mean, if you're in the Cubs standards, it's
you're in our standards, sorry. Yeah,
exactly right. The Jets, though, and the Giants, man, they have been really bad. All right, today's the day. For those who don't know, today is the day, not just of Game 5, but today I become a bidet man.
Yes.
It's getting,
congratulations.
It's getting delivered and installed today.
This what a thrill.
That's a huge
it is a
day.
Thrill. It is a big day.
Big day.
So, Ruben, you are a bidet man,
huge
right?
fan.
Thank you, sir.
Huge fan.
I've never used one, and I don't plan on going there.
I told myself I'd never have another house without one.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you,
do you
sir.
Have
so
one
I,
now?
Here's all.
No, it's
so
a problem.
Then you lied to yourself.
Yeah, no, it's a mechanical thing.
Well, no,
yeah, I did
not.
Lie to my. I did lie to myself because it was a mechanical thing.
That's great.
Well, this is awful.
Yeah, it's terrible.
If you can't trust yourself.
Yeah,
who can
yeah,
you
yeah.
Trust?
It's awful. Right, I'm well, very upset about
you're
it.
You're at a crossroads right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's been a problem.
That's great. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's get to Ken and Cinemixon. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, French. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
Joe, you must have read my mind because I was going to ask you if you were going to share pictures as the proud papa of your new bidet the way John did with his new puppy, mm-hmm. you know, because it's such a big moment in your life.
Let me say this. If I haven't taken a picture of my bathtub yet and put it on social media, I would not expect you to think I'm going to, you know, take a picture of the old toilet there.
Good point. Good yeah. point. I'll get to the Sixers, but on the Phillies real quick, we talked about a few weeks ago about Sir Anthony and my fear that this is just the pitcher he's become. And what seemed kind of strange to me last night in particular was, you know, Topper said a few days ago that, you know, he's just going to try and find some soft landing spots for him until he can, you know, get his form back. And then he drops him into a tie game yeah. in the seventh inning on the road with inherited runners. So I if that's a soft landing spot, I'd hate to see what Topper's definition of a hard landing spot
well,
is.
Well, good point.
He had one soft landing spot, and then he pitched very well in San Diego in that spot, and then they brought him back in this one because they basically had nobody else to go
no,
to.
No, Strom. They could have gone to Strom. Strom hasn't pitched since Wednesday or whatever, or since last weekend.
When was the last time Kirkering pitched, or did he pitch in the
season? He pitched earlier in the game.
That's right.
But still, I mean, Strom's been great.
And remember, Sanchez didn't go too long last night, so, you know, you're dealing with one of those kind of games.
Yeah, you get what you get out of your fifth starter, and if he keeps, it gives you a chance to win the game, it's just a shame to give it away that way. So
yes, it is.
Listen, I tend to come down where you are, Joe. You said something several weeks ago about Buddy Hield, and it was so true that the last time Buddy Hield played a meaningful basketball game was probably the Final Four when he was at Oklahoma.
Yep, and lost by 50
and
points.
He so clearly doesn't want to play meaningful basketball. And, you know, it's real easy. Joel Allenby's a lightning rod. It's real easy to jump on him and to kill him for this, you know, because he's the face of the franchise. And he's also the face of the process.
Yep.
You know, so we have some notorious processors that have come back into the fold here at WIP
right. We sure
recently.
Do.
You know, when you watch the Sixers shoot the basketball and all four Knicks run towards the rim and none of the Sixers do, I mean, you know, it's ironic that we're killing Embiid, but the reason that they're losing this series the way they are is because they're being outplayed by a team that is playing together as a team.
That is true, but Ken, I will say this. On behalf of both the truth and everyone that's screaming right now, frustrated with the Embiid support in the last few minutes, he has not been able to be effective in the fourth quarter, except for one game. And that's a huge problem. I mean, that's a massive, massive problem. Ken, give me an answer, a notable sports story that does not involve playing sports.
I'm thinking about 1979 and the disco demolition at the old Comiskey.
Yeah.
Great answer.
Yeah, that is a good answer. You know, that's the first answer we have had in the last, like, six or seven answers. It doesn't involve death. We went from Michael Vick dog death to Len Bias death to Earthquake 89, which some people died, to Pat Tillman, to John Lennon.
Yeah,
people were leaning into it pretty hardcore. Let's listen, you know, this Sir Anthony thing, it is kind of a mess. I mean, his ERA is like right around 9, whatever it closed out at the end of last night. Crucker postgame was talking on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and I thought brought up a series of good points about they got to figure out something. Now, which lever they're going to pull, I'm not sure. But here's how Crucker laid it out late last night.
I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what I would do. But, you know, 2 years ago it worked for Jose Alvarado, and they sent him out, and they said, you know, work on the cutter, throw the cutter more, and then he figured out a grip on the cutter that it was effective, and, you know, he's been a really darn good reliever at the back end of our bullpen for the last 2 years. I don't know if Sir Anthony needs that, but he needs something to get his confidence back because he still has stuff. The ball's moving. Problem is, it's moving away from where he wants to throw it, and that's not a good thing.
So, Ruben, he's out of options for going to the minor leagues.
Well, I'm not sure if he's out of options, but I do know that he's a five-year player, so he would have to, if the rules have not changed, he would have to agree to be sent out.
Right. Okay.
It is a difference.
There's a difference. I don't think that he has options.
No,
I think
Ruben's
he has
right.
One
so
option,
what's that? What's that conversation like?
It's a tough one. He may invite it because he may be to the point where he's exasperated enough with his own performance that he would say, okay, I will agree to go down.
Does it often happen that a player is asked to go down and he's opposed to the idea?
In that situation, yes.
Did Brett Myers go down after he had been established pitcher before you guys moved him to the bullpen?
He agreed, I think.
Wasn't he a disaster as a starter in 07? And then reemerged later in the year as the closer. Was it an injury?
He got hurt.
Because he reemerged as the closer.
Yeah, but I don't think
he got
sent down.
I thought he agreed to go down.
I kind of thought so, too, but I could be wrong.
I don't remember that. I don't think he did. I think we did talk to him about going down, possibly. I have to go back and look at the records on that. But I don't think he had enough time to be able to not, you know, to to rescind it for him not to be able to accept
it. I like this
it.
Idea of records. You got records? Like, in the home, there's...
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, records are those?
I know where I'm sneaking into.
I have tons of records.
I got Watergate on my mind. I'm getting in there.
I got a lot of stuff.
did agree to go down.
You got
I'm
that.
Looking it up, yeah.
Wow, look at that. Yeah.
How many years did he have at the time?
Well, let's see. That was in 2008.
I don't know how many. If he had 5 years,
well, I don't think
he
would
have
to
agree
to go down.
He had five plus. Yeah.
So he would have had to agree to go down, which apparently he did.
Well, yeah. So will that kind of thing benefit Sir Anthony?
Oh, I think it would.
Fix him?
Oh, I think it would.
And so he would be open to this idea and most likely?
I don't know if he'd be open or not. He's on a guaranteed contract right now, and he might say, you know what, I'll just go to another team and be in the big leagues if you want to put me on waivers.
Right.
I don't think they do, right?
I don't think that they would do because
I think he's still got a lot of value. I just think it's a matter of him. I think for him, if I were him in that situation, I'm still getting paid. I go down, I get the albatross off my back, and I start to throw like I used to throw and gain the confidence back and then come back.
So speaking of going down, two people that lost the gig yesterday, Hoppin' Sports here. Some broadcasting news yesterday. We've seen him for 20-something years with CBS. Boomer Esiason, John, and Phil Simms out at the CBS NFL Today show.
At the desk.
Which, by the way, it still annoys me they call it the NFL Today because it's nowhere near what it was when it was like the real NFL Today, and it was Brent Musburger, and it was the freaking NFC, and they should not have taken the NFC, the NFL Today to the AFC. That was a total outrage, but whatever. All right, John, Phil Simms and Boomer. So Simms, I could go without. Boomer, pretty damn good. Matt Ryan in, J.J. Watt in permanently.
Wow.
J.J. Watt was like part-time guy. So now you get J.J. Watt, you get Matt Ryan, you're without Simms and Boomer, and the other two stay with Burleson and Cowher and J.B., obviously.
So you're adding an additional defensive voice. You know, you're taking two quarterbacks and subbing them out.
For a younger generation quarterback. I need personality, Matt Ryan. I need opinions and.
I love Matt Ryan.
Do you? Is he going to let it fly though?
Like an awesome
I hope he
guy.
Does.
Let it
he
fly.
He seems like an awfully nice guy.
Oh, he's a great guy. You
he's
can
a
tell
great
that.
Guy. Super guy.
J.J. Watt, he certainly has shown that he'll throw some opinions out there. Yeah. I enjoy him. I like it.
Yeah, because let's be real. The biggest thing about Charles Barkley on TV is he lets it fly.
Yeah.
Like, just let it go, my man.
J.J. Watt's outstanding.
Yeah, and then the other.
He's really good. Knowledgeable, too.
The other broadcasting news yesterday, Jason Kelce to ESPN. So, now, I think it's only going to be probably part of the overall package. I think there's more to come here. But Kelce, Monday Night Football, the pregame, the countdown show for Monday Night Football. So, like what Steve Young did for a bunch of years and whoever else they've had through the years, he's now that guy.
He's probably just easing him into the process. And then it'll probably be something much, much bigger.
Well, it's interesting. Like, yeah, what? How much bigger will it be?
It's hard. I've done tried the transition. It's not easy.
You know who was the worst?
You just can't just
Emmett Smith.
Get in and get it done.
Remember how bad Emmett Smith was?
Joe Montana was the worst.
Jason Witten was horrible, too. Joe Montana was really, really bad.
What was worse, Jason Witten or his Toop?
That was bad, too.
I mean,
all right, to the phones. Let's get to Eric in Cherry Hill. Hi, Eric.
Tooped him. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, buddy. Oh, hold on. I got a new drop for you. Hang on. Let me see here.
Yeah. Good morning. And thank you for joining me.
A couple weeks ago, but I'd like to incorporate that. Right. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that for?
It was Tiger. It's Tiger admitting
I know.
Admitting the whole cheating thing. I'll give you this, Eric. Let's go.
But that wasn't new.
Eric, say good morning again. Say good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Big Pimpin?
There you go. That's better. Because you played the Tiger drop like 50 times already.
All right, Eric, go ahead.
Dude, use that one more. That's great.
Your turn to talk. You're up.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Rhea. Spike. Embiid. I wanted to. You can't. Like, we just have to stop making excuses for him. I mean, even if we get past this round, we're not getting past the second round. Indiana just has too much firepower.
Well, I don't know that to be true, but I will say this. I think it would be a toss-up series, and I think it would probably come down to whether Embiid can give you enough or not.
First things first, we got to win three games in a row.
Correct.
Joel Embiid needs to win three games in a row.
That's right.
Let's just all laugh
Eric,
at that.
Give me an answer. Yeah. A sports story not involving the playing of sports.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of resurfaced these days, the Pete Rose gambling stuff.
Oh, man, that's a big one, too. Yeah. All right, let's go to Rob in South Jersey. Hi, Rob.
Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just want to say real quick, last week, I know there was no Beat the Hammer. The week before that, it was Rob from Havertown. When you saw Rob, how scared did you get?
Not scared. Come on. Don't waste my time. All I can give you is one of these.
As if.
Yeah, don't give me that, man.
Rob, right, you Joe. Have you beaten Joe more than he's beaten you?
Yes. We've been over this. Yeah, I'm 2-0-1.
I just wanted reminded.
You're not 2-0-1.
2-0-1
against you? 2-1. You lost in overtime.
I
and
love
the hockey
it.
Tie,
you're 2-0-1, Rob. I agree.
The hockey tie does not apply to Beat the Hammer.
2-0-1.
2-0-1.
He's basically undefeated against him.
Yeah, you're right. For
the he's undefeated.
You're right. Undefeated.
That's true. I've gotten a point each game.
That's good. Well played. I didn't think of that first.
I'm not going to discuss Phil's. I mean, I didn't stay up last night. Woke up this morning. Like, I knew they were up 3-0. But Phil's been playing so well. The offense is clicking. Alec Bohm has just been amazing. So yeah. I'm not even going to discuss Sir Anthony. You know, it is what it is. We'll deal with that. I want to talk Sixers. Now, I'm more of Team Spike here, but I also want to note that it's not a black and white thing. This is a gray area.
Yep.
Joel Embiid is definitely culpable in some way. But I want to tell you guys, I know we focus on Philadelphia. I want to make a point here. Now, Nikola Jokic is always compared to Embiid. They're the best two players in the league. I think that's, you know, pretty – nobody will argue that.
Well, hold on. Embiid and Jokic?
Yes.
A lot of people will argue that because to be in the top two or three or four or five, there's a strong argument that thou shall must be able. I did thou and must to like freaking finish a series.
Okay, well, you're actually driving at my point, Joe. Nikola Jokic won two MVPs, and what did he do in the playoffs? Nothing. He got bounced in the first round, just like Embiid, 6-7 years
to be fair, Jamal Murray got hurt during one playoffs and missed the next year.
Joe, you're not letting me finish my point.
Go ahead.
The other night, on Thursday night, when the Sixers won, the Nuggets and the Lakers followed their game. Ian Eagle, who was one of the best broadcasters in the business, do you know what he said as soon as the game started when they were announcing the starting lineups?
What?
The Denver Nuggets have one of the most balanced offenses in the league, I mean, in NBA history. It's about balance. You cannot win without help. And Jokic makes that happen, buddy.
Like, Jokic is the reason it's so balanced.
Jimmy,
answer me this, guys. If Nikola Jokic was on this Sixers team and Embiid was on that Nuggets team, you really think there would be a difference?
Yes, I do.
The way people play with Jokic, like people run, people play.
But Rob, I'll give you the Sixers probably won't win the title, and they might not get near it because there's not enough around Jokic as a Sixer. But let's not think that Jokic would likely lose to the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks, while admirable, are still one of the weaker two seeds I've ever seen.
If Joel Embiid had Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, and Michael Porter, he would be good.
Like, if he can't play in the fourth quarter effectively, they might lose.
He would be able to because he had to get a rest.
All right, Rob, give me an answer. A notable sports story that does not involve the actual plan of sports.
I'm assuming based on the last card, did somebody already say Tiger Woods?
Someone referenced it, so yeah, it's off the board. Give me someone else.
Okay, I'm going to say this kind of started on the field, but then ballooned off the field, the Colin Kaepernick thing.
Yeah, Kaepernick's a very big answer.
Yeah.
Look, all these answers are big answers. Mark in Downingtown. Mark, good morning. Yo, Mark. All right, Mark.
I'm here.
Go ahead, pal. Yes, we got you.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry about that. First of all, I want to say James Seltzer is an absolute stud. I don't know how he does everything he does.
All right, well, let's settle down. Right, let's settle down.
What makes him so especially studly, Mark?
I don't know the intricate workings of what goes on behind the scenes there, but it just seems like he's constantly hustling, doing everything on
he
the
does.
Air, on the front.
He does.
He's definitely a hustler. There's no question about that.
I wanted
it's
to
like
painfully
Josh Hart on the board.
He really is.
He is.
I wanted to painfully agree with Spike Eskin. I normally don't agree with much of what he says, but I agree that I think Joel's getting kind of a bad rap.
You know, it's just amazing how divided the town is over this. I mean, you got people ready to just run him out on a rail. And then you got people that are just think that this is one of the most unfair things a player is being blamed for. I mean, really,
there's a lot going on.
It's incredibly split.
You got a lot of factors here. I mean, and
you do.
And Bell's palsy is one of the factors now. I never thought we'd see the day.
But there is this argument, even if it's not his fault, that it's just what you get year after year,
right.
And you'll probably get it again next year and the year after and the year after
this
if you stick
with it.
This
was the year that he rested for 2 months prior.
Right. And by the way, let's not lose sight of the fact him not being able to play for those 2 months is part of why you don't have home court advantage, which is not an insignificant factor. You know, like that hurt too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I'd never heard of Bell's palsy until I had some friends develop it from Lyme's disease is actually where I thought it came from.
Yeah. All right, Mark, give me an answer here for a sports story not involving the game.
The 1972 attack, the Olympics.
Oh, my God.
Goodness.
That's another one. 72 wow. Olympics, no doubt. Munich,
come
right?
Up with an answer.
Munich.
Yeah, boy, that's a heck of an answer. Yeah. All right. Speaking of answers, we got an answer here from Emmanuel Acho, who thinks that Howie Roseman and the Eagles had the best draft in the NFL. He said a lot. Let's boil it down to these 30 or so seconds of Emmanuel Acho. Big praise for what Howie did.
What Howie Roseman did was once again marvelous. It was once again miraculous. The Eagles found instant impact players. They filled most of all of their positions of need, and they filled those positions of need early on in the draft. So I believe Philadelphia Eagles were the biggest winner of the draft.
Let's remember, guys, Mel Kiper basically said the same thing. Mel only had two teams with an A grade. The Eagles were that team. And let me just give you a little bit of the write-up, just a smidgen of what Howie had written. Excuse me, what Mel Kiper had written post-draft. He said, Roseman landed both of my top-rated corners in Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. Reminder, for those that don't know, Mel actually had Cooper DeJean ranked higher. He says, though DeJean has the versatility to play safety as well, the Eagles crushed day two, also getting my favorite outside linebacker in the class in Jalix Hunt. All three will help a defense that ranked 30th in points allowed per game at 25.2 points. He then goes on to say the fun didn't stop there for Howie as he made a whopping 8 trades over the weekend, the most of any team since 1990. Among those deals were collecting 2025 third, fourth, and fifth round selections, one each, setting Philadelphia up for future success. He says running back Will Shipley is an interesting one. He put up 1,200 all-purpose yards in each of his past three seasons. Could he carve out a spot as the third down back? Question mark. He then goes on to say, linebacker Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is a value pick in my rankings. I had him at number 108 overall. I'm also intrigued by 6'6" wideout Johnny Wilson, who I had 185, who dropped too many passes, but who has size that can't be taught. Mel rounds it all out by saying this, because of everything Roseman acquired in next year's draft and because of the talent he accumulated this weekend, I feel great about making this class an A. It's a strong write-up right
there. Awesome.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
I feel great about it too. I think we all feel pretty solid. Yeah, my biggest issue is Shipley, our fourth round pick, and that's he could be outstanding.
Are you smelling Danelle Pumphrey?
Of pace back.
Is this Danelle Pumphrey again? Who got here and couldn't play? Guy couldn't play.
No, he couldn't. I don't think it's Danelle Pumphrey, but I would have liked, I don't know. There are other guys I like better. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. I don't think he looks like a guy who runs a 4.39. He doesn't look that explosive. And I do think there are other guys I saw who had more natural hands through the process. I'm being a total nitpicker.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are other guys I would have liked better at running back. But maybe Will Shipley will prove me wrong.
We'll find out. All right, let's get to Wade giving us a shout today. Good morning, Wade.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Yo, this is pitiful, right? You know what I'm saying? This is disgrace because everybody, y'all just bypassed this guy. Y'all don't even put him in an equation no more. The killer link is Tobias Harris, yo. Y'all talking about who's been around since five years.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Him too.
Yo, no, he is terrible. Like, everything y'all saying is about – this even go back to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons ain't do what he was supposed to do in the playoffs, and Embiid ain't did what he's supposed to do in the playoffs. Only coming up this year, he ain't been the best player. But guess what, who don't do what they supposed to do?
He's
the highest-paid player. He was – before Embiid got his extension, he was the highest-paid player. He is the person in the group project that does no work but get the A grade
right.
And don't come to –
You are right.
Hey, Wade, you're totally right. But we've come to the point where we just sort of, like,
no,
give it a pass.
But I didn't think it was going to get this
– okay.
But, John, I didn't think it would get this bad.
No, he's terrible now. Listen, though, this is how bad it is. Y'all giving somebody that's the highest-paid $180 million player the pass. You remember what you just said? We know he's bad, but we're giving him the pass. Y'all aren't even –
Well, I'm not giving him a pass, but I agree with you. Embiid's getting a lot more focus, and Tobias deserves a lot of focus, though.
He does.
No. Yeah. This is bad. Like, y'all don't even hold him accountable no more. And this is true. Like, okay, he's so bad, y'all just put him on the back. Like, we don't even expect Tobias. Like,
you're right. You're right. No one holds Tobias accountable.
Literally leave this man in the locker room. Like, bro, he got $40 million. He can be players. Like, y'all can get players to fulfill, to help other players. Like, y'all can get three more 3-and-D players. But Tobias is taking up $40 million. That's three players that can help.
That's the way you don't. If they lose tonight, he doesn't. You're not allowed to put him on the team. Boss, you're saying just leave him.
Yo, he is terrible, right? And then y'all talking about Jokic. Jokic and Murray didn't start taking off until they got Porter. Porter was supposed to be the first round pick of that draft, but his back was messed up, and the Sixers could have got him too.
It was a gutsy pick, and it worked out. Yep.
Listen, man, Tobias is the worst.
All right, I hear you loud and clear. Give me an answer. A sports story not involving the game.
Manti Te'o, man, with the catfish.
Oh, that's
another one, too. I mean, look, I guess there's thousands of these answers, I suppose, because everyone's been good. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering the highest quality certified pre-owned vehicles in the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, who wins tonight? Sixers or Knicks? You can vote on that. Let's do a deep dive here on question two. Let's all go on the record. With the Sixers in a 3-1 hole, who is annoying you the most? Now, we know what the last caller's answer would be, and I will second that answer. So the four choices in alphabetical order are Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Daryl Morey, and Nick Nurse. I would say Tobias Harris. They all obviously have a piece of this. I think Embiid has the least piece of it because I think he's actually trying his guts out and just doesn't, you know, I think the tank is near empty because of the injury. That's just what I believe. But Tobias, to me, so first off, I was trying to figure this out yesterday. I don't know the answer. I tend to think it's either Tobias or Embiid for who's made the most money. You ready for this, John? In the history of Philadelphia sports.
Oh, well, no. Embiid's made more than Harris because he's got two contracts.
Yeah, but it was lower earlier.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's still, probably I'll double check, but I think it's Embiid.
It's probably Embiid, but Tobias probably, because Bryce Harper is in year six of a $330 million deal, so I don't think he's past Tobias. Oh, Carson, I don't think past Tobias. Like, I think Tobias has probably made the second most amount of money in the history of Philadelphia sports.
Excruciating.
Right? That's now Ryan Howard would be up there because he got 125 and then what you guys gave him, Ruben, in the first 5 or 6 years. By the way, you jobbed him hitting him with the 900,000 the one time instead of the million. All right? Can you give my guy $1 million? He just hit freaking 58 home runs, helped you win a World Series.
He won.
I'm still ticked about that. He should have gotten the mill. Dude. What was that? Was that pre-arbitration? What was that?
Pre-arb.
Ruben, you're having a problem with the headphone over there.
I was having trouble with it. The other one's broke.
To be clear, that was not Ruben deflecting on the Ryan Howard thing. He was struggling to hear as he was fiddling around with the headphone.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, whether Tobias is one or two, he's
two. Embiid's already made more in his career than Tobias.
All right, but he's probably second all time. So I pin this primarily on him if I'm going to name one person. Rhea, Embiid, Tobias, Morey, Nurse, they're the four choices. Which one is annoying you the most?
Is Spike an option?
Wow. Choice E.
Wow.
Look at that. Other. That's a pretty good answer right
I'm
there.
Spike Eskin.
Yes.
All right.
Joel.
Joel Embiid. Yep. Ruben, where are you?
Who signed Tobias?
I believe it was either Elton or Brett Brown.
There you go. That's the most annoying
Which one
person.
Was it, James?
It was when both of them were running it, remember?
No, but I thought Brett Brown had final say that particular
year. Did it that
year,
offseason?
Because Colangelo did Burnergate. And I think Brett Brown ran the 2019 front office, and then they handed it to Elton, and then they stripped Elton of the power.
Maybe.
And there you have it. That's the person.
Brett Brown.
Well, that means Josh
because
Harris,
Because of
really.
Tobias Harris?
Correct. Okay. Do I not take heat for Howard?
So we have two E's. We have an E and an F now. We have Spike as E, and we have Brett Brown as F. Brett Brown catching scrapnel.
So can I go Josh Harris as another E? Because he's not on there. I mean, he's probably the biggest out of everyone.
And who would you say, James, of these four, though? If Josh Harris is not an option, who would you say?
So it's definitely Toby, but to my point before, like, he is the most annoying. I can't stand him. I need him gone. But he's not the most disappointing to me because I expected this from him. So Joel is more disappointing to me, and Nick Nurse, for that matter, and Morey. I think all three have done a worse job compared to what I expected.
Yeah, I got it.
Than Tobias.
All right, John, where do you come in, John?
Performance. I think Toby is certainly my answer. But, man, I'm more down on Joel than you are because I think he needs to get his head straight, and then everything else can follow. This team can get – well, I'm not even going to get Toby wins in a landslide.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, we'll get to the results as we move through the show. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and on the phone lines. By the way, the running back from Clemson, Shipley, was referenced a few minutes ago. What Nick Sirianni said about the Eagles acquiring the running back, Will Shipley. We'll get to that shortly. Let's get to Nick calling from Hillsborough right now. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Doing well, Nick.
We'll be better when you're off that speakerphone, though.
Sorry, buddy. Hold on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. We'll...
Okay. So,
there you
go.
You sound good.
Joe,
yes,
strong work with that bidet, bro. Like, I didn't know anything about that. That's impressive.
Well, so here's the...
Impressive.
I'm either going to give you the backstory or the bottom story.
Nick?
Yeah, I mean...
It's the greatest thing ever invented.
I need some proof on this.
No.
By the way,
I'm not giving you proof of this.
I will tell you unequivocally.
Oh, I need to see. I don't need to see it.
I need to see what?
Finish
that sentence.
Let me just say this. I showed John with his permission one time.
Oh, I remember this. It was horrifying.
I don't want to see.
It was horrifying.
Like why the bidet is necessary for the bottom of the hammer?
Yeah, and I don't want a. I don't want that.
It's carnage down there.
You.
Absolute freaking carnage.
I'd like to see the hardware itself. The
carnage.
Porcelain.
You need to eat better.
That's part of it.
It's a huge.
Listen,
it's kind
mix
of like the
you
only part
mix
of it.
In a salad.
Look,
yeah.
I got
you
it
can't.
All. I got the roids. I got like.
Oh my god.
Stop.
Okay.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Okay. Well, don't do that. Go ahead, Nick.
No, I mean, listen, I'm
that's the least
that
of my
with
problems.
Baby wipes, dude. So I'm impressed with the selection, Joe. I'm anxious to hear more about it. But
thank
anyway.
You.
Are right, you?
So,
really?
No, you're not.
Nick. I'm going to give you anxious to hear more. I'm going to give you one more thing.
No.
Nick, tell me if you, this is true for me, a 3.5-year rash that you didn't know about.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what are we
wow, that's brutal.
Through multiple doctors.
Wow, that's brutal, Nick says. Well said.
That you didn't know about.
Yes.
All right, anyway, speaking of crap, let's transition over to the Sixers.
Yes.
All right,
job,
so look,
what?
I mean, it's been, look, everybody can agree the Sixers have been a complete organizational failure from top to bottom, right? Like, place blame here, there, whatever. Yeah. My question to you and everybody listening, right, let's get past tonight because I think we all know how tonight and this season is going to end. It's probably going to be over tonight. Do you, again, want to run this back for another year, another 2 years?
I do. I'm going to tell you
why.
I'll tell you why. Because it's the first time since 2019 they got cap space to spend. And I got my eyes on three dudes. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Paul George. And I understand, Nick, 3 years from now, you may be proven right that it won't have worked. And I acknowledge there's a better chance than not that they will not win a championship with Joel Embiid. But I would try with one more salvo to try to make this happen. That's my current mindset. Listen, I might be proven foolish in time. You know, like they might not win the championship. Joel could get more injured. And instead of getting back, you know, 4 first-round picks and 3 pick swaps, you might get a lot less in time.
Joe, he's going to play in the Olympics.
We finally have the room to make a deal, to add that player.
Yeah, I'm with John. They do. And Rhea, I hear you. He may play in the Olympics. He's currently slated to.
So he's not going to get the offseason rest.
Well, we don't know that he's going to play in the Olympics. We know that he's currently scheduled to play.
No, he wants to.
We'll see if he does. Well, he wants to play tonight, but he's only playing because it's a must-win game and they're in a playoff series. I mean, Nick, give me an answer here for a story that's, you know, sports but not the game.
Yeah, real quick, just before the answer, man. I mean, you know, there's a great line in the movie Bull Durham. He's got a $1 million arm with a 5-cent head.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that's what we have here, man. And I don't think it matters who you put around him anymore. You got 10 years of evidence showing you that this just doesn't work. Like, it's just time to strip it down, dude, and start over.
Well,
like,
it's getting, you know, it's just, certainly getting closer to that. All right, Nick, give me an answer. What do you got?
Not to lean back into your death theme, but at least it's one we can all be on board with. How about when they announced that the United States killed Osama bin Laden?
Yes.
I was wondering where he was going with a death we could all get on board with. I was a little nervous about
that's
that.
Right.
Well done.
Yeah, no, that's right. And it's a sports story, you know, intersected, obviously. Were you at the ballpark that night, Ruben?
I can't remember. What was the date?
Well, it was April of 2011 or May of 2011,
I think. I think maybe I was.
I mean, it was the Sunday night game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I think I was.
What
really
about
made a mark on you?
Yeah,
I'm with John here. Yeah.
I think I was. And I actually believe that I know some of the people who are actually there.
There at the game or there when Bin Laden got killed?
When he was killed.
SEAL Team 6.
Correct.
You think you know or you do know?
I can't remember all of it.
You sure you're not getting confused? Well, here's what you might be getting confused with.
Am I getting confused with Saddam? Saddam Hussein.
Saddam was captured. One of the people was Brian Reed.
That's correct.
I
am getting it confused.
His brother, Mark Reed, was the president of St. Joe's for a number of years.
Correct.
Brian was one of my brother's best friends in high school.
And was friends with Ed Wade, I think.
And he threw. And here's the amazing thing. When Brian Reed captured Saddam, he was asked by somebody, like, dude, you captured Saddam. What do you want? And he said, I want to throw out the first pitch at a Phillies game.
Correct.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
So then you guys rightfully so.
That's right.
I mean, what an ovation that must have been.
What year was that? I think Ed Wade was the...
Well, that would have been around. So Saddam, we went in there in 2003. So that was probably like 2004.
Ed was the
GM
at the time. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. All right, so we had referenced the running back, Will Shipley, who, John, you're not a huge fan of this draft pick.
Well, no. I mean, I don't think he looks as fast as what's advertised. And I thought it was a red flag that he didn't run the 40 at the combine.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, he just ran it at his pro day. As a player, I was annoyed when guys would do that. I'm just telling you my personal experience. When guys would not run at the combine and only run at their pro day, I always thought it's because they had something to hide. Because they knew the handheld at their pro day would be a tenth to 0.15 faster than what the electronic was at the combine that the rest of us had to run with.
John, when the handheld is held, is it held by someone from the university or some neutral arbitrator guy?
It's both.
It's everyone there who's scouting.
Oh, it's a bunch of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, that's different then. Okay, so it's not like head coach
has... It's not an official time where it's like, this is the guy doing it, and you all go with that time.
But it's not a laser that's stopping it exactly when he crosses the line. There's human error involved, and handheld is one-tenth to 0.15 faster when it's all said and done.
There's definitely a human error.
The combine.
Oh, sure.
I've been on the stopwatch for a long time.
Let's listen to Sirianni here.
The 40 thing way back when guys didn't run it at the combine, I think he benefited from running it at his pro day. I'm not saying he's a bad running back. Yep. I like him as a running back. I'm saying he's not as explosive as advertised.
Here's Nick Sirianni the other day talking about the Eagles' fifth-round selection, Will Shipley.
Fourth-round
selection of running back from Clemson, Will Shipley.
Really excited about Will. Just has a, it has ability to make guys miss in space, accelerate off of that, and then also be a threat out of the backfield and also being able to line up. I think he's very versatile in the things that he can do. Not only you can hand him the football, you can throw him the football. He can line up all over the field. It'll be fun working with a player like him. And obviously I talked a lot about the things on the field because that's what got him in the door. But what's made him a special player is the person that he is, the leader that he is, the worker that he is, and we're really excited to add that type of person to our locker room. And it's just all-American person, and we're really looking forward to that. And obviously, the talent sticks out as well.
He talks about the all-American person. He was, the academic all-American, great grades, and all that stuff. Like the intangibles, all that stuff is really there for Will Shipley. And that stuff does matter. And the fact that the guy's smart, I'm telling you, as a running back, it makes a little bit of a difference. Not a huge difference. When he understands what everyone is doing, who everyone is blocking, there's a little more, expectation that he can break that past the first level. Like, I like it when I know a back is smart because you can almost see him setting up that second level of blocks. He knows the way guys are going to come off and combo. He knows everyone's assignments, and they're just that much better.
You know who could be getting nervous is Boston Scott. So they draft a running back. They already have Gainwell, and obviously they have Saquon. So we'll see if Boston Scott.
And he's a free agent, too.
And he's a free agent, not yet signed.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.